Anybody remember the story of St. Valentine? It's just a myth, right? Like
no.
Santa Claus, yeah.
No.
Yeah. There was actually a man named, we call him St. Valentine. His name was Valentinus, or Tinus. And he lived in the 200s, the mid-200s A.D., and he was a priest in Rome, in the church, and this was before Constantine, so there wasn't an organized state religion. And the Roman emperor at the time, I can't remember his name, yeah, and it doesn't matter his name because... because he wasn't a nice man, and we don't remember those nice, unnice people. Anyway, he did not want his Roman soldiers marrying. He thought that that would be a distraction for them. And Valentinus thought, no, Christian marriage is a sacred honor created by God to reflect the oneness of God. And so he would secretly, he would do these clandestine weddings. And emperor got word of it and didn't like that. And so in 269, 270, on February 14th, he was executed for performing weddings. And that's how this whole thing got started. And now it's all about chocolate and roses, right? No, it's not. It's about the greeting cards. That's what it's about. No, but it's just a great reminder that marriage is a sacred institution to be held in honor, that this man was willing to give his life to wed these people in Jesus' name, and it's a truly a God ordained thing. I can't think of the word I want to use. It's a much more eloquent word than thing, but that's what's coming to my mind. Sorry. You know me. I like how Steve mentioned that we're going out live to all the world, the worldwide ministry of Westside Community Church. So, konnichiwa and niao and all those other foreign languages. So tonight is our Change for Change Sunday, where we put into practice what we've been doing all year, collecting our coins and spare change and cans and bottles from our walks and things. And this last year we took in just under $1,200. And so we've, the board voted to bump that up to a nice even number of $1,200 to make it easier to write the checks. That's just our treasurer. He likes things easy. And so we have tonight representatives from a couple different ministries in town. I wanted to just talk a little bit about why we do this, remind us why we do this. Jake, can you hit the next slide? In Matthew 6, Jesus says this. And he says, be very careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret will reward you. We're not meeting here in secret. We're on the World Wide Web. But I don't consider this, we're not tooting our horns. We're not here saying, look at us, aren't we great? This is just a small token of what the Lord has laid on our hearts to do for our community. Ever since we began as a church, we've wanted to be hands-on in the community. And there's been times over the last, I think it'll be 13 years this April, when we've been doing a better job than others. But this is just one small way that we give to our community. And the amazing thing is it's not a great sacrifice for us to give our change, is it? It's just pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters that fill our pockets or we find between the couch cushions or on the street. It's not a huge sacrifice. And the point of it is that your spare change makes a big change. And so we're going to hear about some of the ways that it makes a big change in our community. And if our change can make such a, I should save this part for the end, but if our change can make such a big difference, what if we really sacrificed? What if we not just gave our change, but our bills and our time? What we could do in our community. And our Father who sees what is done in secret will then reward you. What's the next one there, Jake? That's reflected in our logo. Our mission is to put into practice the gospel of Jesus Christ so that we can see lives transformed and changed by the gospel. That's why we're here. That's why God doesn't just zap us up into heaven as soon as we accept him as our Savior, as soon as we repent of our sins. He doesn't just whisk us away. He leaves us here to be his ambassadors, to put into practice his gospel. So tonight we're celebrating the work that the Lord is doing in our church and in these three ministries. The first one is, I keep wanting to say CEF, Hope Pregnancy Center. And Regina was going to be here. Regina is the nurse, their head nurse. And she was going to be here tonight to talk about the ministry that they have with their ultrasound. When a woman comes in who thinks they might be pregnant, and it's not a planned pregnancy, it might be a crisis pregnancy, and they're considering an abortion. They have counselors there that talk to them, and if they do a pregnancy test there, and if they test positive, and if the timing is right and appropriate, they have an ultrasound machine there, and they have nurses who are qualified to give ultrasounds. And I was hoping Regina would come and tell stories about abortion-minded moms who see the image on the ultrasound machine and their eyes become wide open and they see that that little baby isn't just a mass of tissue. There's a beating heart in there. And sometimes they can see the baby moving around. And it is really an eye-opening experience for those moms. And a lot of them change their minds about what they're going to do with the baby. It's a huge part of the ministry there at Hope Pregnancy Center. And they're talking about it these days because the one that they bought several years ago, she could tell you when, is wearing out. And so they're in need of a new one. So they are starting a campaign to get some money together to buy a new one. And I think they're going to be looking at purchasing one of the new 3D ultrasound machines where it gives a three-dimensional image of the baby. And so be praying for the Hope Pregnancy Center. Our donation to them is going to be put towards the ultrasound machine, the purchase of the new one. I think they're running around close to $30,000, I think. So it's a chunk of change. It's a lot of pop bottles, but they're getting donations from all around the community, and it's doing a wonderful ministry. I also wanted to share with you, you know, they often have a dessert fundraiser in the spring, and that's their big fundraiser for the year. Due to COVID, they're not able to have that. So this year they're doing something a little bit different. They're giving tours of the center so that you have a better understanding of what they do there and what it's like when a woman who finds herself with an unplanned pregnancy comes in and says, I need help. And they'll show you the steps that they go through and all the services that they offer. You know, you hear pro-choice proponents saying, oh, you pro-lifers are just concerned about the baby before it's born, and then once it's born, you don't really care about them. Have you heard that? Well, the Hope Pregnancy Center shows the fallacy of that argument. They care for the mom and the baby even after the child is born. And so they really have a great ministry. If you are interested in a tour, and it's a tour / fundraiser, you know, they're hoping for a donation at the end that you would normally have given at the dessert fundraiser. But if you're interested in that, talk to me, and I'll arrange something. And of course, they're always looking for volunteers. There's always donated clothes that need folding and organizing of their baby store thing that they have. And so there's always ways that people can serve. So if you're interested in helping out with Hope Pregnancy Center, let me know. And I'll get you in contact with them, and we'll arrange a tour or something. So there's the presentation for Hope Pregnancy Center. Next, I want to ask Ammon Crawford to come up. Ammon's the new director at the Gospel Mission. Well, you're not so new anymore, are you?
I'm trying to figure that out.
Yeah, he's not new anymore. He's old. And so he's going to tell you some of the new things going on at the Gospel Mission.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, I was really excited when Pastor came to my office and he said that I could go till 10, you know, and talk about the mission. Oh, wait, that was 10 minutes that you said I had. Sorry, I didn't mean to scare you, but I got all your attention, didn't I?
I told him that Ken Berry used to talk a long time, and he goes, oh, I put Ken Berry to shame.
You know what, I've got a real passion for what I do. Because I myself was a rescue. 25 years ago, I went through the Men's New Life Recovery Program and the Santa Rosa Gospel Mission. I was a drug addict. I was a liar. I was a thief. And what took for me to stop what I was doing was I got arrested. And some people would think that would be a bad thing. But for me, that was the best thing in the world because I was faced with the person I hated the most. And that was me. And getting on my knees was my last step effort to break free of that bondage. And from that point on, of me getting on my knees and asking Christ into my life, doors began to open and people began to minister to me. People used to come into the jail and share the gospel with me. And I'll tell you, that first night that I accepted the Lord in my heart was the worst night ever, because the enemy came along, and as I'd lay there trying to sleep, I literally flinched with images of things that had happened to me, things that I had done to other people, and the guilt was just huge. And I'm like, Lord, what am I supposed to do? And God brought somebody into my path through jail ministry that said, you need to repent of your sins. Every time Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. And say, dear Lord, come in, continue to come in my life. Forgive me of my sin. Set me on the way of everlasting. And give me a future of hope. So from there, I went through the Men's New Life Recovery Program at the Santa Rosa Gospel Mission. And from there, I went to work for a church in Sebastopol for about 3.5 years, doing evangelism, doing a lot of different things, and also doing janitorial. I started at the very bottom, you know, scrubbing toilets, but I had a peace and a joy in doing that because I knew I wasn't making anybody rich. I wasn't making me rich either, but I was working for the Lord, and there was more joy in serving the Lord than anything else I had done before. And from there, I went to work for the Reading Gospel Mission, the Good News Rescue Mission. And for 3.5 years there, I directed and wrote a residential treatment program for addicts, alcoholics, and people that are duly diagnosed with mental illness. And so it was a huge learning curve for me as I did that. Then after about 3.5 years, I realized that I was depending too much on, say, psychology. And I was going to school. I was going to college to get my degree. And I was maybe deviating away from maybe the Word of God because I started to burn out real bad. And after about 3.5 years of doing that, I did burn out. And I used the excuse that my son was being bored to move back to the Santa Rosa area where I was from and where my parents-in-law were at, and my parents were at, that could help us with my newborn son. And there, I ended up starting a business doing construction. I started having a handyman service. I had a couple other businesses. And I felt some sense of guilt because the minute that God entered my life, I knew I was called to ministry. I knew I was called and that my life wasn't my own. But even then, during that season of my life where I ran my own businesses, God reminded me to take care of the widows, is what God said. And a lot of my clients were widows. They knew nowhere else to seek help taking care of their house and their maintenance of their places and things like that. So pretty soon I had people giving me, you know, telling me, I'm going to be on vacation for this week. Here's a blank check. Let yourself in, let yourself out. And it was a position of honor and trust. And after about doing that for about 15 years, God said, you can retire. I was 45 when I retired the first time. And I moved to Paradise, Magalia area where the fire swept through. And God really didn't open up a door at that time for ministry per se. You know, as the fire went through, we stayed on and we helped with a lot of the cleanup and a lot of damage. But we also started talking, me and my wife started talking to ourselves as to where we were going to go. We had honeymooned at the Running Y about 18 years ago. And we thought, what better place to move to than the place we vacationed? And so we came up here and meeting with Mr. Barry. After a couple hours, he says, why aren't you applying to be executive director? And I quickly said, because I'm not executive anything. I'm just a guy that wants to serve. I want to be the guy that's running with the broom. But at the same time, I'm the guy that wants to minister to those people and talk to those people one-on-one and find out, where do you come from? And remind them that the Klamath Falls Gospel Mission is a safe place. And as I remind them of that, I'm praying internally, Lord, set this time. Let this be a divine appointment, because I understand that the gospel mission is not only our identity, but it's our purpose. And everything we do, whether it be feeding the poor and the homeless, whether it be clothing them, whether it be sheltering them, giving them showers, reuniting children with their mothers, that the gospel comes first. You know, the gospel sustains, gospel breathes life into people. And so as I'm talking to people, I'm always getting to that last, you know, that question, do you know the Lord? Have you asked the Lord into your heart? Have you prayed? Have you sought his face? And has God revealed himself to you? So when I came to the gospel mission, COVID had hit. And I'm trying to figure out, what am I going to do to bring integrity to my face, because I'm new here, and how am I going to meet with other pastors in the community? And so I tied us to the Farmers to Family Food Box Program, where we started with 800 boxes of vegetables to give out twice a week. You guys might have heard about that. At the end of about 6 months, we were giving out $2 million a week worth of food. It almost broke our backs. But the neat thing was that as I stepped out of my office about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, because we had to begin real early, and I looked out across our giant parking lot that actually is somebody else's, but we were allowed to use it, at the 12 to 15 trailers, We had 40 people, about 40 people on the ground helping manage everything. And then we had about 60 vendors that would line all the way out into this 5-acre field and around with pickup trucks, with box trucks, with trailers, with vans, any way that they could pick up and distribute to their niche of the community. And it was amazing. And God really spoke to my heart in that quiet moment early in the morning, not even any light in the sky. And he said, look, I did this. And I said, yeah, you did. And he's like, no, I did this. I'm like, okay, what's the point here? And then I realized what the point was. It wasn't the Klamath Falls Gospel Mission that did it, because I could sit up here and jump up and down and maybe convince you of one or two things, but I couldn't move your heart. And God had moved the hearts of all those people, probably over 100 volunteers that were working their tails off to get the food out into the community. God did that. God's amazing, because once he gets a hold of your heart, he can do anything through you. And my challenge to each one of you is pray for that divine appointment as you go out in your day for that stranger you may not know to share the gospel with them. I love cashiers because they're waiting for your money, right? And so pause when you're ready to give them your money and say, hey, how you doing? How's life treating you today? And they say, well, it's fine, or it's this or that. I always ask them, had any grumpy customers? And they're like, well, there's that one. So that's an opportunity to tell them, have you tried praying about it? And they may accept it or reject it, but say, you know what? Prayer really worked for my life. Prayer radically changed my life. Give it a shot one day. And you don't have to be a great evangelist. It's just simply an opportunity to give that invitation to allow Christ to move in their lives. So at the Klamath Falls Gospel Mission, we're doing a lot. We have an amazing facility that you and the rest of the community put there. Raising that money is a challenge. We have a huge budget, but then on the other hand, the reason we do is, like, just the insurance alone is over 20 grand a year. I mean, next time you go to apply for your car insurance and you think, oh, it's so expensive, go buy a rescue mission. Insurance is crazy. Our water bill for a year is between 20 and 24,000. We're talking that stuff that falls out of the sky for free. We pay big bucks to shower the community and cook food for the community. It's expensive. Even with that fancy solar array on the roof, we pay a little over $1,000 a month. So as I entered into this ministry, I'm like, Lord, what do we need and what don't we need? And we really look at how we can make every dollar count and count towards changing lives. It's not about making a fancier building or equipping us with different lights. It's about how can we affect people's lives in a positive way. And not only, see, a lot of people think that rescue missions, you know, just want to feed them, clothe them, and, you know, hose them off and then send them on their way. We want to prosper them. We want to equip them. We want to raise them up. We want them to be the next businessman, a businesswoman in the community. We want them to be an asset. So my heart is that, yes, one, that we have created a great wheel. It spins freely and we do a great job within the walls. And I encourage each and every one of you to come down and take a tour, because that's the only way we can really communicate what we do. And secondly, we want to do it outside of the mission as well. We want to make a difference in the community. We want to impact the community, because the only way I see people contributing to the gospel mission and helping continue that momentum is that if you see value in us. Because if we're just sitting on our butts and we're not doing anything, no, don't do it. Spend your money on Pregnancy Hope Center. I mean, they do an amazing job. But I'm telling you, both ministries, we add value to this community. And as long as we add value, I want you to know what we do so you know what you're investing in. So my business card, I'd be happy to give each and every one of you one of my business cards. But the thing I want to point out to you is not my fancy name, but the programs on the back of it. Because each person that you meet right now in today's world, if a panhandler or somebody comes to you and says, I need $5. The challenge with the world today is that, for example, the cartels in South America, they're not worried about making cocaine or heroin anymore. They're making fentanyl. And they're making fentanyl because of America's appetite for fentanyl. And $5 worth of marijuana that's laced with fentanyl can kill them. And that's the reality of today's world. Fentanyl is slowly moving across from the East Coast, but it's here today. In Oregon, every 1,000 people, 200 people are prescribed opiates. In Oregon, every 7 days, 5 people OD from opiates. So my new program that I'm going out to the community and sharing is when you find somebody that's struggling and they pull at your heartstrings and the Lord tells you to give, I would never tell you not to give. But ask the Lord, what do you want me to give? And what I'd like to suggest is our new Mission Bucks program. And it's kind of designed, I've got a larger one, but this is the one I have with me. It's designed like a $5 bill. And what it does is it shows value to the mission, that it's good for a free night stay. It's good for 3 free meals. And on the back is actually the bus route, how to get to the mission, and a picture of the mission and what it looks like. Because frankly, right now, it does look like 3 county buildings. I looked at getting a sign for the gospel mission, and it costs about 40 grand to put up a sign. So what I did is I wrapped the truck, our big box truck, and parked that out in the front. So at least we'd have something so people could identify as the gospel mission. So when you come up against a panhandler, one of two things is happening. One, they really have a need, and this can meet that need. But if God tells you to give them money, I'm not telling you not to do what God says. But this can direct them to some real hope and a real hand up versus a handout. The other thing that could be happening is somebody's trying to hustle you. Somebody's trying to separate you from your hard-earned money. And I don't want to be in the position of trying to determine that, but this works well in doing that. Because if you give them this and they throw it back to you and they just want your cash, maybe they just want your cash. Honestly, there's panhandlers out there that are making $200 to $300 a day. They put on the whole outfit and they live in a nice house. But they've learned that they can appeal to your hearts and separate you from your money. Now, it's hard to determine who those people are, but this, again, does that for you. Because at the gospel mission, we give away tons of clothes. We cook amazing meals. None of them are yesterday's seconds. They're all homemade, whether it be lasagna or fish or chicken or even tri-tip. We have farmers in this community that donate whole cows to us and whole pigs to us and sheep and chickens. It's amazing. Every time I walk back to the kitchen, I ask them what they're cooking. I'm just blown away. Like last week, they made homemade Mongolian chicken, and then they made sweet and sour pork and homemade enchiladas. One lady came in and she made homemade enchiladas. Just amazing food. Some of the food we cook there is better than what I eat at home. So I know I only have 10 minutes, so I'm trying to get a lot out to you in a short amount of time. So the Mission Bucks program, I handed most of you an envelope. If you didn't receive an envelope, in there is a sheet of paper that describes this program and how it works. And in there is 5 Mission Bucks. And this is a way for you to give people that hand up instead of that handout. And it also won't kill them. So at the mission, we have men's ministry building. We have the kitchen and administration, and then we have the women's ministry building. In the women's side is a domestic violence shelter studio. A lot of people don't know this, but a woman can ring that doorbell at any time with her children that's trying to run from an abuser, and she can go into that studio. She's separated from general population. She can see her kids at all time, and then that next morning, we work with Martha's House and other agencies to get her away from that aggressor. In fact, one time we had that exact situation happen. We even had the police call us and educate us to who this guy was. So we locked the doors. I prepared my secretary, and before I knew it, I looked out, and some of the guys from the men's side had caught wind of what we were doing, and they were stationed up out in the parking lot. Some of our guests, they just wanted to protect what they loved and what they called home, and I had to go out there and say, look, you know, we can't do that. But you can pray that this lady stays safe. And that guy ended up knocking on the door. Hey, have you seen so-and-so? Approaching my secretary. Have you seen so-and-so? And we said, you know what? We can't help you here. Because we couldn't. And then later that day, she and her kids went out through Martha's House and was able to get freedom from that aggressor. Really cool stuff. Another thing a lot of people don't know about is... I just spaced it the second time I spoke today. Alva House is a wonderful ministry of reuniting children with their mothers. Sometimes women lose their children because of drugs, alcohol, breaking the law, mental illness, things of that nature, and suddenly they're left without purpose or identity, and suddenly that identity and being mom is stripped away, and their kids are stripped away. So at Alva House, we work with DHS in reuniting those children with their mothers. In fact, DHS, Child Protection Service, considers us a fast track for doing that because we got a really good success rate because, and all the glory goes to God, We disciple those women. Everybody that comes to the gospel mission, though we allow anybody to come in, everybody there is a point of contact for us staff to share the love of Christ. Because in the abundance of the grace that's been given to me, in the abundance of grace that's been given to all our staff members, we share. We show up early, we leave late. If the budget doesn't provide for it, we go buy it ourselves. You know, my board's like, oh, you got to worry about work labor laws and things of that. And I'm like, it's a ministry. We're there because we want to be there. We want to help people. The dirty, freaky people don't bother me because I used to be one of them. And today, God has blessed me so abundantly. Klamath Falls Gospel Mission, it's your mission. It's your gospel mission. If you have any questions or you want to hear more about it, give me a call. And each one of those envelopes is a way to reach out to me and set an appointment. If you come about 11:30, I'll buy you lunch. God bless you all. Thank you for your time. Thank you, Pastor.
All right. So our next ministry is Child Evangelism Fellowship. And Jessica and Hot Pockets are here. And I'll tell you what's going on there. His real name's Peter.
Well, hello. Today marks 5 years, I believe it is, since I first came to Westside, and I've been here ever since, so that's a good place. I am really grateful to be part of the Ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship. I'm the local director, and so we're going to share tonight a little bit about what God's been doing this year. It's been a very, very different year, but we're still seeing God work in the lives of children. And if you're not familiar, CEF is a worldwide children's ministry. We always are focused on sharing the gospel with children and then helping them get discipleship and get plugged into a local church. That is our vision. So Peter's going to share a little bit about how he got involved with our ministry. He's our intern. And then he's going to talk a little bit about what happened this summer, and then I'll share a little more about what's going on currently, right now, in our ministry.
Hello, my name is Peter, or Hot Pockets. What happens when you stay with the pastor for a while? I started actually working here in June, but I actually came here visiting in February. Some of you might remember that. So it's really cool for me to be here again, and kind of marks 1 year for me of actually visiting Klamath Falls for the first time and really loving it. I got into the ministry when I went to an Awanas. How many of you know what Awanas is? Or Awanas? I don't know why I make it plural, but I do. But I did that, and I went to their youth program, which was Trek, and the state director for CEF happened to be leading Trek. And so he was like, inviting all the teens, like, come to this super cool Christian camp where we tell teenagers how to tell kids the gospel. And I got excited. My maturity wasn't up at the point that I could join, so my brother got to go and I didn't. But a few later I did, and I absolutely loved it and continued on from CYIA to where I'm at in ministry right now. CYA, as many of you know, last summer was quite a bit different than any summer we've probably had before. At least us new guys who are newer to the world, it is definitely the weirdest summer we've ever been through. So CYA was definitely very much different. And so instead of our huge state camp, we actually had about 12 different CYAs going on at the same time throughout Oregon. And we had someone all the way in the state office just keeping everyone updated with each other of how many children we've talked to, how many have received Christ, and how the fundraising is going on. And they always had like a, I want to say not exactly a short sermon, but a Bible challenge prepared that everyone listened to every single morning and stuff. So Klamath Falls CYIA, which stands for Christian Youth in Action, was this. This was CYA of 2020 up there. Some of them might be here, but I won't make them stand because it's. I know the embarrassing feeling of that. So I think one of the neatest things that I like to share with you all is the fact that we all missed the big camp. You know, having 150 other kids that are at the same mission as your heart, we really missed that. But the good part that came out of it was that because of the small group, the leaders who were there could actually get to know every single one of these kids that were helping. Not just get to know them, but also be able to mentor them to some degree. And, you know, hear about how is their life going, what's going on in their life, their families and stuff, and be able to actually biblically disciple them in how they can react to all that, how they can move forward through all of that. And when you have 150 kids, that it's not as easy to do that. And so that was one of the most powerful things that we were able to do last summer.
All right. Fun fact, CEF of Oregon has about 40 staff throughout the state, and about half of them came up through Christian Youth in Action. So it is a really strong ministry training program, and I am one of those that came through CYA. So it's really a blessing, and one of my favorite parts of the ministry. But another of my favorite parts of the ministry is the Good News Club. And here we have our own Steve and the Delansky boys at the Stearns Good News Club. They are our only faithful attenders there. And you might notice, if you've been in our classroom trailer, that's the classroom trailer that they get to meet in. So yeah, that's an exciting little connection that Westside has with the Good News Club. And normally, the Good News Clubs would be on campus in the elementary schools after school. But this year, sometimes nobody's on campus at all, and sometimes it's the kids and nobody else. Besides our teachers, of course. That would be a problem if there was only kids. But we're not able to be there on the campuses. And so it was a bit challenging trying to find where are we going to have our Good News Clubs. And some of the areas had a spot close to the school that we could use. One of my clubs meets in a home across from the school. Some of them meet in businesses, several meet in churches, and we've got one in a classroom trailer. So they're all different this year. Everything looks different, but we're still able to reach out to these kids and bring the gospel to them in person, and it's always a lot of fun. Even though there aren't as many kids this year, we have about 10 clubs going, and I think there's close to 80 kids enrolled right now. So that's quite a bit smaller than usual, but the good news is that God knew this was coming. And last year, even though Good News Clubs ended quite abruptly in March, even by that point of the year, we'd already seen more kids enrolled than ever before. So God made a way for them to at least hear the gospel before COVID hit, and we've been able to mail things to them and get kids involved in different ways that they can keep learning about Jesus. CEF International Headquarters has put out YouTube videos that kids can watch. There's the Mailbox Club that we do here locally. And there's lots of other different ways that kids can get resources sent to them in their homes, besides the Good News Club. So a few things that you can do to help support the ministry. First of all, you can pray for us. We're still having to find creative ways to keep ministering. And one thing that you can pray for right now is we're trying to get a Zoom club going. And it's already feeling kind of late in the year to start something. The school year is more than half over by now, but we still want to make it available for the kids. So that those that, for whatever reason, can't come to an off-campus club, they still have an opportunity that they can be on Zoom for another hour in the day and have more fun than school and get to hear about Jesus. So pray for that. Pray for Peter and I and our team. Steve is on our board. Just that we'll have God's wisdom to know how to spend our time and how to invest in the children that we have opportunity to reach. And also, you can give to the ministry. You can support the work that's going on. There's always different projects that we're working on. This year especially, we've been trying to do a lot more advertising, which is expensive, but it's a way of getting the word out there in the community so more people know that there's something out there for them, so that they know there's a way for their kids to be discipled in God's word. And also, Peter is raising support. I raise support. You can support our ministries. So if that's something that God's laying on your heart to do, you can talk to either of us. And also, you can give your time. Like Pastor John was saying, what could happen if we all invested our time in the ministry? There's always ways that we can serve. And it would be wonderful if we could get more community Good News Clubs going. If you've got a bunch of kids in your neighborhood, maybe you can start a community club in your own home. And so if God's calling you to actually be the boots on the ground and put in your time to minister, then you can do that also. And like I tell people, we're not just going to throw you out there to do it on your own. We'll give you the training and equip you to be able to do it well. So that's some ways that you can be part of this work. And of course, you already are part of this work because you've been giving your change all year, and that's going to help the ministry. And we're so grateful for that. So thank you for your support.
Come on back up, babe. Got something for you. So, let's see. I don't have my glasses on, but I think that's for you. And that's for you.
All right.
So, we want to pray for you all and your ministries. And I wonder if there's someone here tonight that would be willing to pray for Ammon Crawford and the gospel mission. Anybody? Just springing it on you. Thank you, Steve. Anybody willing to pray for Jessica and Peter and CEF? Please? Okay, we got John. All right, and I'll pray for the Pregnancy Hope Center. So let's stand and give glory to God and pray. Our Heavenly Father, it is we are so grateful, so thankful, Lord, for every opportunity we have to serve in Jesus' name, to give you glory, to give you praise with sacrifices large and small. God, I pray your blessing upon the Hope Pregnancy Center and that you would bless them abundantly. We pray for Terry, the director, and Regina, the nurse, all the volunteers and the other staff. Lord, would you continue to stoke the passion that you have instilled in them to minister in this very important way to ladies and men who find themselves in a tricky situation. Lord, I pray your great blessing upon them. Steve.
Lord, we're thankful for the gospel mission, for your calling on individuals in this community, for Ammon and his crew there and all the teams as they're living out the gospel in daily works, Lord. We pray, Lord, as you've given them vision for ministry, that, Lord, you would provide the resources through this local community to go beyond the normal aspects and just recognize, Lord, they're part of your work to reach the lost. And we're thankful, Lord, for that which you're doing. We pray your blessing upon this $5 meal ticket, Lord, as it gets into hands of people might be able to recognize their own need and recognize, Lord, that you want to provide the meeting of that need in a local way. We're thankful, Lord, for the history and the work of the gospel mission. We look forward to the future days as you bring revival to yes. men and women and children's hearts through their work. Thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I pray for Child Evangelism Fellowship, Lord, in Klamath Falls and Lake County and all across the world, Lord. I pray for Peter, and I pray for Jessica and the teachers and the staff and all the people that make this ministry possible, Lord. I pray your blessing upon them and your protection, Lord. I pray for boldness as they go into the community and teach children your gospel, Lord. I pray for doors to be opened.
Yes.
I pray that this advertising campaign that they're trying to tell people that this is available, Lord, that there is a message of hope that's available around the community and in the schools for children living in a world that often seems to be without hope, Lord. I pray that this advertising is effective, Lord, that people can see it and respond and learn the gospel, Lord, and take this opportunity, Lord, for kids to see and feel what true love is from mm-hmm. you, Lord. I pray that through these clubs and through the ministry, more leaders will be raised up, Lord. Leaders like Peter, like Jessica, Lord, who started in clubs, who started in Christian Youth in Action, Lord, and have received your call, Lord, to teach, Lord, to lead and to grow the ministry, Lord. We're put on this world to go to the ends of the earth, Lord, and share the gospel. And we're all to do that, but some do it and they're full time, Lord. Their entire life is dedicated to that, Lord. I pray that as schools open up, Lord, that more kids will come, Lord. That their hearts will be open, Lord, and that the kids will want to go to churches, Lord, and then bring their parents to church, Lord. It's hard for kids to drive to church on their own. Somebody's got to bring them. And what better way to get parents to church than bringing their kids?
That's right.
I pray that more churches get involved, Lord, that want to support the ministry, to see it as a way to expand their reach, Lord. Thank you for what you've done and are continuing to do. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. God, would you move our hearts, move our hands. We are your servants. And I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit, as you plant these ideas for ministry in our hearts, in our minds, Lord, by your power, would you bring those to fruition? And may we remember, God, that if it's from you, nothing is too out there, and nothing is too hard for you, and nothing is beyond your ability to do deep and powerful work in our community. You just need willing hands and hearts to carry it out. And so we give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming out tonight. Thanks for joining us online. Did you cut us off?
Sure.
All right. Lord bless you.